You're rolling?
Mm-hmm.
I'm rolling. All right. So, hello, Brian Lee.
Mm.
As you're drinking coffee or something.
That was rude. Hi, Linda.
I want to do something different today. I actually want you to do the intro live.
Oh, do I have to type it out? Did you text me? Did you email me the script?
No, but
so
can you
I just mimic you? Okay, go.
Yeah. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. One more. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
Okay, so now we need something different because I actually have that one already.
Oh. Do you want me to throw anything out? Maybe I'll do it. You want a nicer, like a more conversational one or something?
Yeah, do one like that.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
I'm getting told
to be casual these days.
Yeah, now do one where you're laughing through it.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
Great. Now give me one where you're angry and you don't really want to be on the podcast.
I mean, this is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. Jesus.
All right. I want to put a script in the chat window. You can...
I need to take your class. Hi, everybody. This is Brian Lee. He's looking for pointers in VoiceOver.
That's right. I'm basically, coaching you the way that I do when mm-hmm. I try to have people give me the assessment if they can do VoiceOver. So I'm like, go angry. Mm-hmm. Go happy. Go
yeah.
bimbo.
Connie Zimmet. Connie Zimmet did that.
Did she?
Yeah, she had a card. Oh, didn't you love her? She had a card that had a list of professions all over it.
Oh, I remember that card.
Remember that
yeah.
card? And then she would give you a standard script, like a script for like a shoe store. And then she would go, happy guy.
Yeah.
It's like right now at Rob's Shoe Store, you can save 50% on, and then she would go, New York, angry New York, Brooklyn cop, where something like, we've got blue shoes, we got red shoes, we got, and then she'd go, baseball announcer, we've got red shoes, we've got blue shoes, all the way, and she would do it in the middle of the script. And by the time you read a 60-second script, you'd go through like 8 different voices and you had to on the spot. And it really made me self-conscious.
That's a good one. I mean, but she also would do the character key thing, which is similar,
mm-hmm.
but you wouldn't be able to change your accent. You would be imitating the mannerisms, the pacing.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, which is very difficult with your regular read, mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. And can you look at the chat window? Because we haven't even officially
joined
started.
Our cloud.
No, the chat window on Zoom.
What is that? Your client has been successfully updated? What?
No, look at the bottom row.
No meeting scheduled. Enjoy your day.
No.
That's what it says, I swear.
Like, look below your window of where your face is and my face is. That bottom row
the window is, I had to move it up. Okay. So,
hit chat.
Chat one. That it? One message?
Ah! Yes.
Okay. Is brought to you by. Oh, you want me to say this?
Yes.
In what voice?
The classic Brian Lee voice.
The voice. This is funny. I like this. It's creative. More people should do this. The VoiceOver Gurus podcast is brought to you by no one, because Linda pays for it out of pocket. Stop texting me. The VoiceOver Gurus podcast is brought to you by no one, because Linda pays for it out of pocket. Because Linda pays for it out of pocket. Because Linda pays for it out of pocket.
Can you do it like you do like a very serious news read, like everybody's going to die in the flood?
The VoiceOver Gurus podcast is brought to you by no one, because Linda pays for it out of pocket. The VoiceOver Gurus podcast is brought to you by no one, because Linda pays for it out of pocket. Tonight on Action News, the VoiceOver Gurus podcast is brought to you by no one, because Linda pays for it out of pocket.
Is this entertaining you or people?
Yes, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, then we can do this all damn day. This is fine.
Just one more exercise. We're going to do, this is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast, but, you know, we're going to work on various inflection. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus.
This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
This is the...
This is the VoiceOver Guru. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. Or this is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast.
Depending how you want. I was doing your inflection, so I don't mind line read. I don't mind line read. I get line reads every blue moon. I get them, and there's a guy that, in the movie trailers out in L.A. that'll do that. He just wants what he wants, and he goes, you know, can I read? And I'm like. Pfft. Dude,
yeah,
we can do this all day.
If it
means we're
going to
get done, you go, let's just do this. I'm fine with it. We can do it all day.
This is great. I think I got my little live intro. Now I will start the music.
Mm-hmm. And should we'll I have been recording that?
Oh, God, please don't do this. You did this last time.
No, I'm kidding.
Or a couple of times ago.
Yeah, right.
Oh, shit. I wasn't recording the Zoom. All right. I'm going to start recording Zoom.
Oh, so you. Okay, you.
Yeah. I screwed up. But anyway, they're going to hear everything in the beginning.
Okay. What are you going to just put up color bars in a tone? Just beep, us talking under it. And I wasn't,
yeah,
you
actually,
know, something that's fine because I have a tendency to be in my own mind and I don't look at mm-hmm. the camera. I look at people mm-hmm. and I might look at you, but I won't look at the camera. And so I'm glad. So now I will, hi.
That's a good idea, though. I will put those little bars.
Yeah, just color bars.
Yeah.
People can
fun.
Calibrate their monitors or their phones. Have you been out to the TWA hotel out at
yes.
Kennedy?
Yes. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Have you stayed there?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't stayed there. Very nice. Yeah. Dave stayed there. We have that and we have the pens too.
Oh, awesome. They had pencils when I was there. So
that is such a cool hotel.
It is. It is cool.
And they shot Mrs. Maisel there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have to change anything.
Right.
You know,
and they dressed it. Well, see, that's interesting because I've been flying into Kennedy for so many years, and the JetBlue gate from Fort Myers lands there. That's, I think, Terminal 5 or 3
yes.
or 5. But, you know, when you come down the baggage, that building where, you know, the lobby, that whole terminal was always there, and it said TWA on it, and it was just rotting, and I think they were going to tear it down. But then they built two hotels on either side of it. And it's weird, though, because... they didn't change anything at all.
Yeah.
And so to get to your room or to the elevator, it's not obvious. You're checking in where the ticket mm-hmm. takers are, you know, the what are the
people who work at the hotel.
The people who work at the airport part. and then there's no ramps for your luggage. So you go, okay, bye, okay, we're in this building. So you're rolling with your stuff, and you come up on like 8 stairs, and there's no ramp, there's no ramp, there's no elevator. So you and there's no signs that say ramp or anything anywhere. So I'm listening, you know, I'm just like, dragging my luggage up the thing, and then I, you know, find my room. But yeah, the to get down. It's not anywhere. It's like behind stuff, like a you come in by like behind a like a restaurant or something. It's really weird. I really thought that they would actually make it. And I know that this is an issue. It's like it's almost like a mystery to try to, you know. So
I guess they were trying to keep it as true as they could.
Yeah. So if you're going to the TWA airport.
Yeah. Isn't that the same though? That view when you're looking out at the tarmac, that's the same spot where the Beatles landed. In that shot that they have of
it might be where that Constellation airplane is sitting.
Yes, yes.
Which is now a bar. That you go
did
and
they
do
turn
it.
Into a bar?
It's a bar, yeah, that I didn't go into.
God.
I'm mad, but I didn't go in. But maybe.
Yeah, I think I had heard that, so that's kind of a cool little... Mm-hmm. So you've been busy lately? What's going on?
All right. yeah, I mean, I'm always busy. You know, there's always stuff to do. I ended the last year... down a little bit, but not as down as I thought I would.
Yeah,
tend to get a lot of work in the end of the year. So,
percentage wise, how much?
9.
9%? Okay.
Maybe not even 9. I started the year down like 25. And then so I got a lot of campaigns towards the end of the year. And right now I'm up 1.8. Actually, I should be up more because a lot of collections haven't come in yet.
Nice.
But I did the Barbie campaign. And
Cool.
Yeah, and that was awesome that Warner Brothers got me for that. And then I did Poor Things, the Emma Stone campaign.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, me too. And then I just got the new Ghostbusters movie, and
cool.
They're working that deal out. And I got a booking for Ryan Reynolds' new movie, If, which is the imaginary friend.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. I mean, I got a reading for it. It doesn't come out until May. Ghostbusters comes out late March. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Other than that.
You don't get excited by these things anymore?
I'm happy I have them. Mm-hmm. You know, am I excited? Yeah, I mean, I am, because I've been doing trailers for so long, and a lot of other people that have been doing them are not doing them anymore. And
really?
So I am very fortunate. I'm just so fortunate. And I'm sure probably the rest of the voiceover industry is going, how does he just keep getting these campaigns? I mean, what is he magical? Is he whatever? And I just
I think you're magical.
You're so sweet. I'm just so at this point, well, I'm just so happy, you know, to just.
Why do you think you get the campaigns?
You know, I think I'm good at what I do. I had a guy just reach out to me. I don't know if I should say his name, but he's a producer and very accomplished and very good. And he works with other people. And he said to me, do you ever have moments of doubt, you know, as a talent?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no. And he's really? I said, no. No,
yeah.
I think I can do anything. I mean, I can't speak Spanish. I mean, if you put Spanish in front of me, I'm going to, you know, kill it. But I mean, I don't have, at this point, I do not have any doubts. Until, if the voice craps out or something like that, then yeah. But until that, you can put anything in front of me.
Do you think you ever had doubts, though?
One time, I remember feeling so bad in a session for Speed Channel that I won the audition and I won the booking. And my voice wasn't deep that day. It was really raspy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on ISDN with these two guys, and they're like, really give it to us, like, speed, you know, just bleh. And I couldn't do it. It was like, right now on speed. And it was just like, I felt so bad, and I was nervous, and that made everything tighten up, and the stress and the throat even more. And then I said, you know, guys, if you want to use someone else, I understand. Which was like, are you kidding? That's like being an actress or an actor and going, I'm sorry,
right.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Whenever you make a mistake, don't apologize. And they're like, no, it's fine. We got 2 more minutes into it. He goes, you know, would you mind if we, you know, did use somebody? I'm like, no, that's okay, bye. You know, and I'm just like.
Yeah.
That's the only time. And that was like maybe over 20 years ago. So that was that one time. Other than that, I've been in Los Angeles at CBS with laryngitis. For some dumb reason, I've gotten laryngitis like 2 or 3 times flying to LA, and I was on shows on CBS going into the booth doing like Jericho, you know, these deep kind of.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, Monday 8/7 Central, but it was like Monday 8/7 Central on CBS, and they're like, great. I'm like, oh God, I just hope it doesn't crap out. Oh God. Oops.
What?
Some news music was playing under me. It was part of my Pro Tools session. I wouldn't say you get sick a lot, but do you get sick a lot?
No, I have allergies.
Okay.
So
we've both had this not do our podcast because of awful viruses and shit. You know?
I did get the virus that was going around, and I was out for like 10 days over Christmas. Thankfully, it was during that week when things were slow anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone in the house was sick. Everyone I knew was sick. Mm. I had students canceling left and right. It was just this huge thing that came through. But sick where I cannot work is a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to deal with allergies. And like this morning, I'm driving in going, how are my allergies today? Oh, okay, I think I'm all right. I'm not going to be coughing up too many frogs.
Right.
But sick. No, not too often.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. just bad timing, I guess, sometimes when we're trying to connect one of these. Like, I don't, and then I was like, I'm sick. I got COVID again between Christmas and New Year's. So
yeah. And then before that, you were going to see your dad, and mm-hmm. you were going to. And then the last time you and I were supposed to connect, I screwed up on the scheduling, and one of my Spectrum students showed up with his dad.
Okay.
And I can't turn him away. Right. So that's where I was like, oh, I got to just go ahead and do this lesson. And unfortunately, right. I can't see you, Brian. But, it's all been excuses like that.
So how are you doing? What's going on? Just a lot of teaching, a lot of, is that just every day? You do that every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
every day.
My Fridays are completely booked out with students now. Everybody loves Fridays. But I have regulars on Fridays, and now I just got my... Because I max at 3 students a day because I got to get my other voiceover work done, you know? So now I have 3 on Friday that are every Friday.
Do you look forward to it? Is it just like...
Yeah, each one is so different, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But like, I have a new guy coming today that I don't know anything about him. He just went ahead and bought a package.
Wow.
So he's just showing up. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to talk to him and see, what's happening. But I have to say, voiceover work, I've been doing a lot of voiceover work. So
great.
I got busy, like really busy, like October, November. And then it maintained, and I'm very busy now. And then the students... yeah, very fortunate, because I don't seek new work for voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just grateful that what comes in. And the coaching is fantastic, but it's extra fantastic when you're working with someone on the spectrum. Or what I'm seeing a lot these days is kids with anxiety issues.
Wow.
Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one yesterday, going through stuff, and she's, 18. They're all like in those, that key area, 17 to 25.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with social media and all the pressures that they have.
Wow. So you really get a sense, of adolescence, that age.
It's
and
true.
And what those kids are like. I don't, my daughter's 25 and moved away 6 years ago. So, but, that's amazing. So they come in, and do they stay with you? We'll see you next week, or just what? Do they stay, or does anybody come in?
A lot of them stay.
What it's like when you get a cancellation? Like, yeah, it's like Travis doesn't want to come in, or just whatever.
That's
he doesn't want to do it anymore. He just
I'm very flexible because I have work I have to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I get the cancellation, I'm like, yes, I can now get, things done. But I tell people, if you're not feeling well, if you're not mentally feeling well, cancel. Don't waste a lesson if you're not going to be 100%. As actors, we got to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get all that vulnerability and be good and feel good. And, it's not like it's cheap to take lessons. So I always tell people, and I don't ever charge penalties or anything,
mm-hmm.
So super duper flexible. But I've had students now coming. I've got 4 years. I've got 3 of them that have been coming for 4 years every week, same time.
Wow, that's good. Are they?
Yeah.
Do you find as a teacher that it's not necessarily about these kids are going to go get a career in VO.
Right.
But we know this is probably not going to happen. This is for them to be, you've had to probably become this whole new kind of therapist, almost like therapy, know, and really get into these kids' heads and especially if they have challenges, right? And I bet you have to be patient because if they don't, they don't focus.
I'm an extremely patient person. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be in this business because it's just, I'm a compassionate person, but, each person is different. And I just, we don't necessarily talk about their issues or their problems.
Right.
That's what they have at home and what they deal with. What they do here is they expand on whatever it is that excites them. Do they love anime? Do they love cartoons? Do they love video games? Do they, you know, and we dive into that. We read a lot of screenplays from animated movies.
Wow.
And you prepare this.
So, you know, you have a student coming in who likes whatever. And so you get the, you get the scripts and everything. That's cool.
With a lot that are on the spectrum, you know, they're very decisive. So I really can't sway them. So they'll come in and I'll just say, what do you want to do today? And then they'll tell me and then I'll get the stuff for them. But, you know, it's just a different way to coach. And then I have folks that obviously are making demos and they want to do this for a living. But that's always my first when I meet someone. I go, is this going to be a career? If not, then we're going to go the creative route. And trust me, I turned somebody away last week because I was like, this is a business. This is a business. Yeah, but my voice, no. Has nothing to do with your voice.
Yeah, my favorite is somebody calls and says or sends me an email going, I have a friend.
Who's this friend? It's you.
I have a friend who, some like a producer that I work with, like at a cable channel.
Oh, okay.
I have a friend who wants to get into the voiceover business and, you know, wants to know what to do and, you know, where. And so my next question is, do you do remote? Do you do like Zoom and things like, okay, you do? Well, I know where to send them now.
Oh, you're asking me. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
I just go listen to VO people and make a website, you know, get a demo produced. I'm not going to do it, but you can go do it. I remember it used to weigh heavy on me when someone said, hey, you know, and I would go, fuck, I've got so much to do. And then I'm like, you know, but I mean, I feel good about answering. I mean, I should. I mean, in my business, I was told and I've learned and I want, and it is a part of me that there's a great responsibility in paying it forward.
Yeah, but you pay it forward in other ways. You don't need to be coaching
just answering.
Just answering
and corresponding. There's a kid who sent me something back in 2014. And he's saying, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to find time to actually get on the phone and talk to him. And and I do. I feel he's sitting in my inbox. I didn't go, you know.
So you haven't spoken to him? It's 10 years?
I'll correspond with him over email. Do you know what I mean? But as far as, you know, and it's not like I'm above talking to people on the phone. I mean, a lot of people, seasoned talent reach out to me. He's great voice guy reached out to me just recently and said he wanted to get into television affiliate. You know, I want to break into TV affiliate. And so, you know, he's a professional. This is how he pays his bills. This is how he eats food, you know, pays his rent. So I feel good. It's like comedians, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld feels really connected talking to someone like, you know, Eddie Murphy or
right.
you know, because he's another comedian, you know. So talking about voiceover to voiceover professionals is always so rewarding, you know, because we're all doing this and we've all been doing it for decades. And, you know, we all experience the same thing and whatever. There's a guy right now on I don't try to fault people, but there's a guy right now that's blowing up on my Instagram saying, you want to get into voiceover and you don't have a good voice, it doesn't matter. You did, and he's just promising everything.
Oh, God.
I will teach you, blah, 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 blah. And I look at him and he has a good voice, but it's just one of those guys who's just like trying to capitalize on the voiceover industry.
I can't stand that. And, can you write in the chat window the name of this person?
What's that? I don't know. Right. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you. I'll find it.
Yeah.
But he just goes on there and he just promises, you know, I'll show you. And I try to, I click to forward it to other people and it's an ad. So he has specifically set it up to where it can't get forwarded. You have to click for information or whatever. It's not. Yeah. And I'm not worried about competition or anything. I'm just worried about his enthusiasm is very high. It's way up there.
It's false advertising as to what he's selling.
Yeah.
This is what I fight against constantly, which is why everything that comes out of my mouth and the people I work with is complete reality. Mm-hmm. But you have people there on TikTok that are saying, I just got online and made $5,000 in one day. You know,
oh,
they
right.
don't. Yeah. And they don't address anything else that goes into this. So this is why it's of utmost importance that we talk about these things, because I'm getting people coming to me that have dropped like $4,000 on a demo. Yeah, there's a particular producer out there that charges like $3,000 to $4,000.
Oh my God.
And apparently he spends like a day with them. And then, of course, he sends the audio files off to another person to mix.
Oh my God.
And then the people wind up upset because they're like, I barely got any coaching and I dropped all this money.
Yeah.
And I'm unhappy, you know, and it's not cool. So,
well, I think it's important that we talk about this. I do.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, well, we have. We've talked, you know, don't. It has to be, I mean, who am I to say, but I'm going to say it. You have to want this. It has to be in you. It has to be a part of who you are. Don't you remember when we were getting into this, all we wanted to do was be behind a microphone. We were euphoric in studios. We would stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning if we had to. We would literally fight sleep to do it. This whole like, somebody told me I have a good voice and I want to get into this. And I would, it's like, you know, fine. And if somebody wants to do that and they're informed and they want to go and they want to discover and do whatever, you know, that's great. But there are people out there that exactly what you said, there are people out there that are like, just like on the Instagram, you know, that'll say, you know, I have a side hustle making $100,000 a day.
Yeah.
click on my link and I'll show you how. Follow me and I'll show you how.
Yeah. I know. When you and I were starting out, I remember it would get me so excited just to even go to your studio. Mm. I loved the darkness. It was like the cool factor of walking in. I didn't know what anything was, but it was just that vibe, you know? And that's what I would visualize doing in New York City is going. And I love to go into those studios because that's part of it. And you're like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to perform.
When I moved out of my house, you know, in Fort Myers and out of a bedroom, and I built that first studio where I met you. It was a tiny little space. It was a tiny little control room and a decent sized voice booth, you know, maybe like a 10 by 10 or something like that. And I remember the euphoria and the excitement to design it. Okay, I want track lighting and, you know, and I want dimmers so I can go.
And how much did it cost for you to build that studio?
I mean, very expensive. Well, you mean like the construction of it or the equipment?
The equipment. How much was the equipment?
Christ. I mean, this is a great conversation because what it cost to do that in like 93, now you can do it for like $10. You can have a $5 USB mic and plug it into your laptop and go, hey, it's not going to sound very good, but you can record. First of all, back then, there was no internet. It was like Prodigy or like AOL. We weren't delivering stuff over the internet. So you had tape-based, you know, equipment.
FedEx.
So I remember I took $50,000 and said, okay, I'm going to build a studio for $50,000. And the Mac Quadra computer it was 92. Was $6,000 just for the Apple computer. And that was cheap. I got it as part of a package. It was more like, I looked it up the other day to go, how much was that computer again? It was like $9,000. So it was $6,000, but this is what it had. It had a 33 megahertz processor. The drive inside of it was 220 meg, not gig. 220. It was loaded with RAM. Loaded with it. 8 meg of RAM. Not gig, meg. And that was just the computer. Then the monitor was a 16-inch tube monitor, RGB monitor, and it was $1,250. If you want me to keep going, then I had to get a microphone. I got a Neumann U87, so it was like $2,500. And then I got like a mic processor, because that's what I used in the beginning. That was probably $500. And then, because I was like, with the music place up in Washington, I'm like, what do I need? They're like, oh, you idiot. So I got some English mixer, made an AMAC board, you know, that Mackie didn't exist yet. You couldn't go get a mixer for $8, you know, $80. So that was thousands of dollars. And then I needed 2 DAT machines. That was, I think those were $1,200, $1,400 a piece. That was $8,000. and then Pro Tools. Now, this
is... Yeah. Yeah, what was Pro Tools like back then?
Pro Tools was... it was there was one interface. It was a rack-mounted interface that had four inputs and four outputs. So you could do four channels of audio. And that was $4,100 for that. Wow. And I wanted eight channels, so I had to get another one. So now you're at $8,200 to do eight tracks.
Jeez.
Pro Tools was not Pro Tools. It was called Pro Tools, but DigiDesign, the company that made it, had a company called OSC make the software. And there was a recording software out there called DEC. It was called DEC. Mm-hmm. And so it became ProDEC. It wasn't Pro Tools. It was called Pro Tools. And here's a program to use part of Pro Tools called ProDEC. And so ProDEC was the recording software. And you couldn't see the audio in the – you got just a palette that said record, stop, backup, but you couldn't – and a counter. And there was no audio wave. And so I'm going to record. And so you got to remember, back before tape, you know, when you're on tape, you need to see the machine running or something, like the wheels going around. And it's like, record. It's like, hello? And the meter's going up and down on the screen. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm recording. And then, you know, you stop, but you couldn't see it. So you had to back it up and like listen to it.
Oh,
and
God.
Then when you were ready to edit it, you had to push like F5 and then it would go switching to ProDEC, drawing over waveform overviews. And you would leave. You'd go to the store, you'd go shopping. Or whatever, and you'd come back, and then it would be on the screen where you could edit it, but you couldn't add to it. You could cut it up, move it around.
Wow.
But the awful thing was the computer, this blowtorch Mac Quadra computer, couldn't do eight tracks. The drive in the processor inside it was, I'm sorry, I needed a external hard drive to record to.
Oh, my God.
Big as a car battery, like a motorcycle battery, and it was one gig. And it was... I think it was $1,500.
Wow.
And it was literally this big and had a fan on it. So you're trying to do voiceover in the room, things like, you're like, you know, it's running over there. And the cord to the drive was only this big because if it was any longer, the data wouldn't track. So the computer couldn't do eight tracks. It could do four. Even though you had two four-track interfaces plugged into it with cards in the computer that those had to be plugged into. So they're like, you want to do eight tracks, you need a system accelerator card, $5,300.
Oh, my God.
So now just to do eight tracks of audio on a crashy computer was over 10 grand.
Wow.
It was like, $4,100, $5,200. $1,200 or $1,500 for the hard drive, $6,000 for the computer, and it didn't work.
Wow.
That's the sucky thing. It didn't work. I recorded it. I would record, and it would crash. It would lock up. It was Pro Tools version 1.0. Cutting edge. And it was,
wow. Yeah, so you think it was like 50 grand?
It was $50,000. Yeah.
And then
what about the
ISDN line, the Telos Zephyr? Is that when you got that too?
No, I didn't get the ISDN line until I moved to Fort Myers. This is when I was building it in Richmond, when I lived in Richmond.
I was building it
in my house in Richmond.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's not including the real machine. I had an Atari MX-5050, this gorgeous MX-5050, and it was thousands of dollars for this real machine. And I had to get a cassette deck. You had to put stuff on cassette. It was all professional grade stuff.
This is probably why Dave doesn't throw out any of the old equipment. I think he feels like he spent all that money and he likes to look at it or something.
Right. Yeah. Like the Korg SoundLink.
Yeah. The Tascam, you know, reel to reels and stuff that are collecting.
Oh, the Tascam, the BR. If you remember my reel to reel machine in my studio, it was a Tascam BR20. We had two of them. We had an Atari in one studio and a BR20. A Tascam was just beautiful. It was a workhorse machine. It was gorgeous. Mm. The whole nostalgic, you know, side of loading up tape was amazing. Not very economical,
right?
You know, noise. You know, just distortion and noise. But it was.
When did you move to the Sennheiser 416?
Chris Corley. Said you should get it. I was using I bought a Neumann U87, which was a gorgeous microphone, but it was also, it's picked up everything. So if anybody walked by the door,
you know, it would pick it up.
You'd hear it. But no, I didn't get a 416 until I bet early 2000s or something like that. I think I used an AKG C3000B was a little microphone that I used, and it was great and it was awesome, but it wasn't this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I got this in, I was at Sky Audio. I think I had it maybe, I don't know, 2000.
This is the late Chris Corley.
Yeah, he had it before anybody. I mean, the real Don Steele, I think, was a voiceover guy, a jock and a voiceover guy in L.A. And Don Steele, Ernie Anderson used one at ABC. And he used a different model of it, but that was the whole idea.
Sidebar quickly. I was thinking about you the other day because Jim Cutler,
mm-hmm.
remember him?
Mm-hmm.
So he lives on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he and his wife, he is cranking it out still, like wall to wall.
Jim Cutler is like...
I remember him from the early days.
Yeah, hardest
working
guy.
And you saying he was working a ton then.
Jim Cutler is amazing. Amazing. He has a ton of television stations, a ton of radio stations. I hear him everywhere. He's just, he lives in his studio.
Yeah.
He
but think about this.
Studio.
This is like the mid-90s when you and I were hanging out, mm-hmm. and you had pointed him out to me.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, really?
And he was working like crazy there, too.
I know how he works because I do the same thing. You just, mm-hmm. you literally live in your studio. You go in the morning and just crank it out and crank it out and crank it out and crank it out. You don't finish until you're done. And you're available after hours because someone in LA is going to call you. That's it.
A kid here in the studio, he's learning. He's like a budding writer for sports. Anyway, he had to go interview someone. So he spent a day at their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't even realize that he was local to here. But
I talked to him one time on the phone. I got my first Tribune television station, and he was the voice of like WGN. You know, he's doing all that stuff. And he was very established in television. He was like a lot of Tribune stations, and I got the Tribune station in Miami. And a guy named Rick Felty, who was head of creative, said, "We pay three different rates for television market: small market $750 a month, medium market $1,500 a month, and like large market maybe like $3,000 or something like that." I don't remember large market, so I wasn't doing any then. Pardon me. Anyway, so yeah, and Rick was like, "And we don't want to deal with any agents, so do not have your agent call our stations because we'll fire you." And he goes, "Look, call Jim Cutler. Here's his number." So I called Jim Cutler. This is in like 1999. I called Jim Cutler, and he's like, you know, studio or Jim or whatever the audience is. Like, "Hey, this is Brian Lee." He's like, "Who?" I mean, nobody knew me. And I'm like, "Brian Lee." I said, "Rick Felty told me to call you." So he knew who Rick Felty was. And he's like, "Oh, okay. So what's up?" And I'm like, "Rick Felty wanted me to talk to you. I just picked up a Tribune TV station in Miami, and he wanted me to call you and have you discuss the mentality of Tribune Broadcasting or how it works."
Interesting.
Whatever. And Jim was still like, "Who? I'm sorry, who are you?" And then he was like, he goes, oh, he goes, "Oh man, I'm sorry, man. I hate voice guys." That's what he said to me.
Is that what he said?
And I'm like, "What?" And then, I don't know if he was joking or not. He didn't hang up the phone with me or anything. But he goes, "Oh, yeah, okay." And then he was cool. And then I don't remember our conversation being that long. But then he was like, no, "Yes, don't do this. And he was like, "You paying your agent commission for this?" And I went, "Yeah." He goes, "Don't do that. They didn't get the free." And he's like, "Don't." And I'm like, scared, so I pay my agent commission anyway. You know, he was because he had been in business forever. He wasn't.
That's
but
funny.
And he had a very cool system of. I remember hearing that he would go out of town every weekend to visit clients.
Oh wow!
Every
That's
weekend,
commitment.
That's what I heard. That he would actually get on a plane and fly. He and Dawn, his wife, who also does voiceover and manages his empire, their empire,
mm-hmm.
Would get on a plane and go visit a client. And they would go to a baseball game, or they would go out to dinner, or just whatever. He just really treated his clients amazing.
Wow. And
every weekend. So they go out on Saturday, you know, wherever, whatever, dinner, whatever, and then spend time on Sunday with a client, you know, whatever, and then fly home Sunday night every single weekend.
You think he still does that?
That's what I heard. What?
You think he still does that?
I don't know. See, I'm not on social media, so I don't follow it. And I don't even know if he is anymore. He used to do some really cool blogs and stuff a long time ago. And it's like, you know, here Dawn and I are in Maine or something beautiful.
Yeah, I only know because this kid wrote an article. And then I was like, oh, wait, Jim, that name is so familiar.
Jim is just an absolute veteran.
Yeah.
He's a veteran in this business. And
he's still cranking.
And he's still cranking. He's just cranking out just tons and tons and tons of stuff all the time. And I, you know, and it's interesting too because he just continues to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know he's older. I know he's older than me too. What's that?
Does he mostly do the TV affiliate work? Is that
he just? It's like Jim and I are aligned very much the same.
Yeah,
completely aligned. I don't hear him on trailers though. I don't hear Jim on movie trailers, but I do hear him on a lot of cable. You know, we work Nickelodeon together. He's in every TV market. You know,
So if you're a TV affiliate voice, you could potentially have how many stations?
I mean, over 40, 50, yeah. 50, you know? So, yeah. And television keeps you busy.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm on cable channels, cable networks and stuff like that, and trailers, I and radio, it's the TV stations that crush you all day long.
Because it's like updating, you're talking about news?
Just TV stations, everything.
Really?
News, promo, yeah. Like, for instance, I have no TV yet. Oh, there's Chicago. Chicago just came in.
What do you have to do for Chicago? Join us next week when part 2 is available and you find out exactly what Brian Lee had to do for a Chicago station.
Thanks for listening to the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. Real talk about the voiceover industry. Learn more about us and get coaching at voiceover.guru.